several of the board members are now saying that they think a search would, quite frankly, be not worth their time and money, and that they feel like they would be able to find someone from within the system. Now, that said, this will be interesting to watch how this unfolds, because, as usual, the board members seem to be, you know, all over the place on a spectrum from you still have the women in the minority saying that we need to do a search, we need to do a national search, conduct a broad net for a candidate. You have some who seem to be kind of in the middle saying there may be some kind of search. It may be just statewide. And then you have some Carl Paladino, namely, saying we know exactly who we want to interview. We're going to go ahead and do that and just pick someone. So again, they'll really need 5 votes to move in any direction. And so I think in the next couple of weeks, we'll see how that plays out.
What is your sense of that they're in a hurry right now because they still have interim superintendent Ogilvie in place?
You know, obviously, Dr. Ogilvie has said he is not going to stick around very long. Some people suspect he'll be gone at the end of the school year. So that in mind, I mean, that, you know, we're getting to that's a couple months away. I think at the same time, there seems to be a frustration, quite frankly, from everyone on the board. You have those in the majority who supported him and brought him on board. At the same time, they presented a very aggressive reform agenda. And if you look back at that list, I think we talked about months ago, very few of those things have happened. And there really seems to be very little progress on others. Meanwhile, you have the people on the other side of the board who were opposed to the way he was brought in the first place. And I think kind of on their end, they're not seeing a whole lot of movement one way or another. So right now you have an interim superintendent who really seems to have lost a lot of support from the entire board. And at this point, I think people may just be ready to move on.
Your article indicated that from the Paladino side that they were looking at a possible principal or principals to consider for this post. Why would they go to a principal for the superintendent's job?
That's a good question, Eileen. It is kind of unusual. You know, I've had some experience in districts as they've looked for superintendents, and it's always the same kind of conversation. Do you go national? Do you go local? I think the idea behind someone local is that they know the system, they're familiar with the district, they're maybe committed to the area. And then I think in this case, the thinking behind a principal is it might be someone who is not, I think Jay McCarthy had an interesting quote, you know, mired by the district already and hasn't spent a lot of time, you know, at the bureaucracy that is central office and is maybe more connected to the school. The flip side of that is you're bringing in someone that doesn't have any administrative experience at the district level. So they may know how to manage a school, but what happens when you take them to the district level and they're responsible for many schools and many more staff? It's kind of unusual, I think, in a district this size that that would happen.
Just reading your article as well, too, about the point where some of the board members didn't even meet with the consultant that they hired. They spent thousands of dollars to do this, and then the board members didn't even go. What a wasteful amount of spending.
Right. And, you know, I think you saw almost a very quick turn in how they went about proceeding this. I think when they first started talking, you heard more universally across the board this desire to do a national search. They did hire this consultant to help them come up with a vision statement, whatever that means. You know, and that's pretty typical on how districts would proceed. Some of that may have been a good faith effort because you were also coming off of Ogilvie's appointment and there was a lot of tension over the fact that they didn't do any kind of search. They didn't even bring that up to certain members of the board until the day they voted on it. So, you know, whether that consultant was kind of a smoke and mirrors or a peace offering that now looks like it's not coming to fruition, I don't know, but I guess it's pretty typical on this board that it looks like that just isn't going to go anywhere with that.
Tomorrow night, you'll be at the board meeting. Any clue as to the possible vote on these phase-in plans for these 4 failing schools?
It's going to be very interesting, and I think, you know, there's a lot of factors at work that are not looking good for them. I mean, my colleague Sandra Tan had a story in the news this week. The big issue they're at now, well, you have this issue of the charter school request for space that they are just looking at Monday. And then you have these district-led plans. One of the keys to all this is state ed has indicated that they will not approve a plan unless it has the MOU from the union. Phil Vermore has indicated that he will not even discuss those memorandum of understandings until the board approves a plan. So when the board has to vote on these plans, they don't even know if these plans are a possibility because all of them require an extended school day, which would require the MOU from the contract. So if you're a board member, do you approve a plan maybe on the basis that it calls for a longer school day when that may or may not happen? And the reality is if they do that, if they kick that plan to the state and for whatever reason that MOU doesn't come through, the state is just going to kick it right back. And ultimately those schools will just end up being phased out. And something else that Palladino indicated was however they proceed with those agreements with those schools is likely going to foreshadow or set the stage for their negotiations for the bigger BTF contract. So I think some of the board members are going to be very hesitant to make certain agreements on these particular schools, knowing that than it may be expected across the board.
Some feel it's a done deal. I've talked to a couple of folks over at Bennett. They said that they believe there was Tapestry Charter folks already measuring and checking out the building fully, and they feel that it's a done deal, that they're going to close.
You know, and the whole concept of these phase-in and phase-out models is interesting, because I think what you indicated also kind of tells what could come ahead, even if they left that school open. Once you decide to phase out a school, the whole game kind of changes for the faculty, for the students, for parents. You've seen, you know, this effort, I think, from all of the schools to try to preserve what they have, to try to maintain something that's there. But the reality is, you know, the state law, you're not supposed to keep the principal. You can't keep more than 50% of the staff. The school's already changing. And, you know, in all reality, the school started to change the moment they said they were phasing them out. They did this at quite a few schools in Rochester. And again, you know, even as they phase those schools out, you heard from teachers and students, you know, it's not the same school anymore.
What about all those students? Where do they go?
That, you know, is a good question. If they do stick with the plan to phase out these schools, the theory is that the students, you just stop taking new grade levels. So theoretically, Bennett High School will remain Bennett High School. I don't think they've worked out the logistics of whether they would co-locate at that campus with Tapestry. But so theoretically, students who are at Bennett High School, say now in ninth grade, would proceed 10th, 11th, 12th. The one thing I don't think anyone on the board or the district has really thought about is the fact that when you consider how many kids in the system are behind and that only roughly half of them graduate, you're going to have a number of kids either way who likely won't graduate by the time that school is phased out. So I have yet to hear a public conversation about that factor. But, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, you'll have students who are displaced. There's no way around it.
Tiffany Lankus, Buffalo News education reporter, thank you so much for being in our studios.
Thanks for having me.